Want to welcome our featured reader, Bola Apeleki. He's the author of Skeleton of a Ruined Song with Ice Flow Press and winner of the 2020 Thomas Morton Prize in Poetry. His poems have appeared or are forthcoming in journals like Prairie Fire, Frontier Poetry, Rattle, CBC Books, The Nottingham Review, The Puritan, Literary Review of Canada, Sierra Nevada Review, The Indianapolis Review, Canadian Literature, and many more. He holds a degree in city planning and lives in Winnipeg. Bola is currently Arts Community Director with the Winnipeg Arts Council Board of Directors. Welcome here.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Angeline. Thank you to everyone in attendance. I really appreciate. What can I say? I'm honored. I'm going to start the reading tonight with a poem titled Elasticity, Elasticity. That's Swahili. And this poem was a finalist in the Frontier Open Poetry Contest, I think in 2018. It's especially special to me because it's about the Ger Child, where I came from. The Ger Child women generally, I think it's getting better now, but they women are not being treated fairly, and especially the Ger Child. So I wrote this poem for that purpose. So it's very, very dear to me. Elasticity, elasticity. Whoever cannot tell himself the truth about his past is trapped in it. James Baldwin. Grandpa Sally helped build Farmer's Board, which later became the school board, which later became Counter Boko Haram Unit, the United Sally Alliance. And because we can no longer wear our school uniforms, we instead wear half our brains, wear cutlasses and oars, forget stolen tobacco in our teenage mouths, and hum hip-hop lyrics as we take twerking lessons. And that is our school, for which we received praises, for which guns taller than us shrunk to pieces, for which we no longer raise the middle finger toward every police car that races by. Back home, father told us about his father's plan that later became his plan, and so must become ours too. The plan to not plan for the Ger Child. Because deep in the ocean of storms, only a single language survives. That language, no woman knows how to speak. The language of the tree. Stay right where you are. Do not move. Sadly, father went to school before it became a tool used in bombing markets and stealing teenage girls from their sleep. Father cried because he knew he had let his father down, the way I'm probably going to let him down. School changes everything. Changes, even change itself. He stuttered. By this time, I was alone with him, for it is forbidden to have your friends see your father shed a tear. Grandfather Sally built Farmer's Board. Father built school board. What I'm building, I never wanted to build, knowing how fast bombs get strapped to bamboozled wastes of lost cousins. Is this the punishment for our father's sins? A song rises in Swahili. It says, Ila sisi, Ila sisi, Ila sisi. I heard my father's hand. I could hear his heart pounding as the song breaks nets and cobwebs over his mind. I took his tears and made it mine. Ila sisi, Ila sisi, Ila sisi. And this music we dare not dance to. Later, we struggled to give birth to girls, but our sperm could no longer hug she eggs. As the song continues to turn itself into a melody around the hips, we seek forgiveness from the gods that wear breasts to make us survive. After the earthquake, we look for what new bird to build, but there are no more birds, only bombs. We fall into the arms of our mother. We cry solemnly into her bosom. Ila sisi, Ila sisi, Ila sisi. Elasticity in Swahili means save us. The next poem that I'm going to read is see from the collection, Skeleton of a Ruined Song. It was first published by Ratu Magazine. And the title is Home That Will Not Let Us Stay. It was written after Tina Clark's Equilibrium. Home that will not let us stay. After 30 years, I finally managed to figure out what home means to a refugee. Plume the flickering ash around the reality of waking at dawn to a new statute, asking me to name every line on my thickening palms. The landlord is the God I see at night. I pray to him for permission to call his house a home. When he touches my daughter, where no man should touch her, I put the nonplussed girl by the ear and warn her to use the kitchen door henceforth. Cutting cantaloupes, the sight of policemen coming towards my door makes the fruit bleed my dark blood. But you have not come to ask why I cut myself. They have come to ask if I wasn't a terrorist to bomb innocent neighbors in no distant future. I will turn to my bloody finger later, asking where my appetite has gone. I know home was where death ambushed my destiny. I know it should be where the sun reads in with a smile, not climbs arrogantly upon my vertebrae, not make rent the tears that must not dry up before the next election. My weakened bones pour at the veins, delivering gas to my heart that will not stop pounding. Each time someone tries to extinguish the fire of political bigotry, the rotting air runs through, feeding oil to the rampaging flame. I look out through the basement window. My eyes traversing oceans and mountains, calling home, waiting for something beautiful naked to crawl ashore and say, stay here. Thank you. If time permits, I might read one more, but I would like to read this poem titled The Mug in My Tears. This is the poem that was the finalist for CBC Poetry Prize last year. I hope you guys enjoy it. Here we go. The Mug in My Tears. She was trapped in a snail shell. I caught her gaze. Inside my eyes, a proliferating fire. Nadia kissed the sky and recited all the 99 names of God, hive to the limestone of my voice. Swallowing sunset, she said, yeah, Abibi, I regret nothing. I'm honored to have touched the clay from which a god was made. Behold, the mother of children who refused to be born. A road splitting into two or three or four on Ellis. Wingless terraces. On Bamora, we swam unseen in a river of cloud, like dodo birds. Language is a leather belt. I said, yeah, beauty. And they are the first Arabic words I learned. Nadia whispering into my ears, if you cannot speak my language, how can you tell the mileage already eaten by my silence? I buried a black coffin in my heart. It was a graveyard for one. It was where love died. This is not what anyone should crave. After the first beating, I turned on the shower and nailed myself to the imaginary cross beneath it. Sometimes I wish for this drowning more than a baby does breast milk, more than a song does dances, because I know water is a better lover than most men. I let her fingers drill into the delicate part of my body until the holes I knew were there became visible. Until the honey inside me is made manifest for slopping. I stayed drenched in the flood of my own crucifixion. And this is not what anyone should dread. After the last laughing, I find the salt of a flame lathering between our thighs. Nadia said, remember, my ashes are not to be sprinkled on any random ocean around the world. But it was too late. It is always too late before the unloved realize how much of an ocean resides inside him. This is the mug in my tears. They warned, if you ever come near again, you will die. They said, we do not hate anyone. We just don't like a stranger spoofing our gods. Who knew she can let the gun go off in her mouth? For this is the fourth bashing. Her creamy body glowing like the sun. She said, choose your death now that you have eaten the forbidden fruit. And I laughed. I did not understand the language of gods. Under the shower, her ivory breath swelling around my bleeding skin. Nadia lit a candle within my thighs. I was beaten. I died. You cannot die on me now, she said. I must do the dying for the both of us. I kiss a gravestone. I slaughter time. My lips mutated into a heap of rubble. Perhaps love is its own guilt. Perhaps death is its purpose. We create what we dread. Nadia wrote for me a poem. She did not say the words in it will become a knife. Our people coming right after. They screamed, "What have we done? Oh, what have we done?" In my mother's country, some say, "Abamoni gbeyinro," that the regrets of life come later. I looked. I saw in the people a retreating shadow of a mournful wolf. To everything in life, there is a purpose. A moon for the night and a sun for the day. They said, "Let us now love you like our home." I said, "It died." I said, "Lift first the coffin of Nadia off my shoulders." Thank you so much. And I don't think I have much time left. Angeline, do I have time?
Do you have one more?
Yeah, I can read one more from the collection. And this poem is, this poem was published by, I can't quite remember the journal now, but it's Canadian journal, I'm sure. It's titled Diplomatic Immunity. Here we go. My throat is the broken passage between Sinai and Gaza. It swallows up travelers and their camels. There's a thing in this land that reminds people of holiness. The mouth is the house of traitors. It protects the teeth that won't stop to torture the tongue. There's nothing in this land to remind people about salvation. My body, as the wilderness of unsaid apologies, hides murderers in the pleasure of its silence. Its voice lowered like the gun of a falling soldier, like white lotus, arms wrapped around unsure rebirth. Who has never seen Jerusalem cry at night? Let him climb a cedar tree, see how each strand of leaf becomes a frozen tear. My throat knows what my mouth knows, but neither of them will say a thing to the body. Neither of them would trust a desert that only takes and takes, though in the end, a caterpillar that becomes butterfly becomes mere dust. And that is it. Thank you so much, everyone. I really appreciate your presence, your attendance. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you. That was beautiful. I'm so glad you read the CBC poem.
Thank you.